right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is episode 11 of the Porchcast. You got Tristan and Justin in the house tonight. Sam is over at Wonderbird Bound, just a few blocks away. We are broadcasting from Wishkuka here in Denver, and we are joined by two of the founders. You guys want to say hi?
Yeah, I'm Tyler. There is only two founders, mind you.
Okay.
I'm Tyler, and I am my partner and cousin Joseph here.
Hey, how's it going?
Yes, welcome. Why don't you guys start out by telling us a little bit about what you all are doing here? I think people are still... You all just opened last weekend,
right? 8 days ago.
Wow.
8 days ago. So, well, 9 days, 10, somewhere. Somewhere not that long ago.
In between a week and 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So as we've dealt with this torrential snowstorm that Denver has faced the last 2 weeks, we opened during the middle of it. And what we are is a gourmet exotic beer hall, or sausage and German beer hall.
Perfect.
Big German beer hall holds about 200 people. We got a patio that holds about 250 people as well.
It's going to be perfect just in time as the weather starts warming up here in the next week. It's going to be perfect for patio drinking or essentially porch drinking, if you will.
Porch drinking. So yeah. Joseph and I today, we set up our porch drinking situation in the middle of winter as the sun was up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we had a couple beers on the patio.
Oh, our food is up.
Ooh, our food is arriving.
We're going to get a little sample of that here shortly.
So, yeah, we serve nothing but gourmet and exotic sausages.
Okay.
Everything from an amazing bratwurst or hot Italian, kielbasa, chicken sausages, all the way to things like a pheasant, a rabbit sausage, and an assortment of other different sausages, obviously.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Belgian-style fries that have consistently been voted some of the best fries ever. And as you dig into them, you will experience yourself. I don't know if you remember Saturday.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping you loved your fries.
I did. Actually, I got a great sample. I stopped by with a friend on Saturday, as Tyler alluded to. Stopped by Wishkuka and had myself a little sampling. I had to do some research. It's very important
I'm doing some research right now.
Justin's doing some research as we speak. I don't do research for this very often. But when it involves food and beer, I think that's the perfect time and situation for some dedicated research, and we did just that on Saturday night. Tell us a little bit about this concept. I mean, this isn't the first market you all opened. You all originated in California, correct?
Yeah. So Joseph and I are cousins, as I mentioned, and we grew up playing together since we were 4 years old.
Sure.
And actually, I was born when
Since Joseph
was four and I was born. And it evolved, for sure, but we had that relationship that had been around a long time.
Did you guys both grow up in Southern California?
Yeah, so we've been eating sausages since we were little kids.
Nice.
I was in San Francisco, had a design firm up there, building nightclubs.
Sure.
Tyler was at school at USC in L.A., kind of when it was right going through its rebirth. In the downtown area,
right?
And said, "Get down here. We gotta do a project together." And Wishkuka evolved from that, basically.
All right.
Is there anything within the family that kind of relates to this, or was it more just like?
So, the side that we have together is German side. So sausages, beer, part of it, and then kind of, I remember he came up to visit me in San Francisco, and we had this, like, just kind of epiphany in terms of tasting the first German beer and the first Belgian beers that, like, really, like, widened the scope behind what we were drinking in college and growing up.
Right.
That showed us that it could be so much more. That flavor profile was just so broad.
Excellent. And it's so cool to see a heavy German beer selection and a heavy Belgian beer selection in the same establishment.
So, okay, so where that comes into play is that we look at it as we cover every major category of beer.
Yeah.
And basically those are derivatives of the German and Belgian heritage beers.
Right.
So everything that we're kind of doing today, with mad respect to the craft beer scene, but they're derivatives of, you know, that heritage Weissbier or that heritage sour.
Right.
And there's some awesome spins that are coming out, but these are kind of like the Arctic local, like, master breweries.
Sure.
So, Vine Stefan, which is like a brewery that's been brewing from 1040, I think. It's the oldest brewery in the world. You know, it's got some of the oldest Weissbier recipes out there.
Right.
So we kind of cover,
So we cover
every one of the, like, what are the major categories, and I think the two that are like, or the one that neither the Germans or the Belgians really have a lot to stand on is the stout. We don't have a stout,
right?
So we do one North American stout, and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the beer program here.
Yeah,
just try to find the best of the heritage beers.
Now, why did you all? How did you all decide on Denver for your next, you know, expansion?
Well, we had people calling us more or less off the hook, asking us to come to Seattle and Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept going, and we're like, we just could not find the right spot, the right building. We came out here, this was 4 years ago, to look for a location and ski.
Yeah.
Did we mention that we want to ski? So we came out here. We're like, let's just tack 2 days on and stay in Denver.
Yeah.
Denver didn't have a whole lot going on outside of the core city. I mean, obviously the surrounding suburbs have some really cool things. And the city was primarily full of chain restaurants, Cheesecake Factory, yada yada.
I can attest, I moved out to Denver about 5 years ago, and you know, it was pretty sleepy back then compared to what it is now.
Totally. We were like, wait a second. So it was the populace at open. We were cruising around. Obviously, which was semi-birth out of Crema, which was there. But other than that, there wasn't anything going on. Castleman's was over there.
Yeah.
And that was for sale at the time, and we were trying to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, this city is gonna go nuts. Like,
yeah.
It is so poised to go nuts. So we really put our heads down, came back a few weeks later, and started looking for buildings. We ended up finding this building, which is a triangle brick building.
Yeah.
And we have three triangle brick buildings. And when we found it, we were like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
It was a super, kind of, very run down, dungy. I mean, I think gross is a fair way to describe it. If anybody had been to Rockaway Tavern,
I've heard tales.
And the Rockaway Tavern was gross, and we completely gutted it. We dug out a giant basement and are putting a big beer hall downstairs. A cocktail lounge downstairs.
Okay, cocktail lounge.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a separate project that'll be open in the next coming months.
Okay,
And when we found Denver, we found this building, we were like, this is it. Like, let's be a part of this city as it grows.
Yeah.
And as it really kind of comes into its own and develops out of a small city. As it develops into a big city. Whether people agree or disagree with that, it's going to happen.
And you all kind of fell into it at the perfect time, because right now, you know, even in the 4 years that you've been gone, this neighborhood has really started taking off, and it's at the very beginning of that too.
Totally. I mean, we almost feel behind it, because we bought this building 3 years ago and then sat on it for a second as we were dealing and improving our infrastructure, and now we're here and we're like, wait, I don't know, I read an article that 40 restaurants opened in something like September or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, we got to open in this mass of restaurants. Like,
yeah.
Holy smokes. Like, not only is hiring tough, being able to attach, get the attention of all the consumers is tough, because they have so many options, so many new options. So,
but on top of it, I think it's become, for those who are listening across the country may not know, Warshkuka is based here around the Five Points River North area, right next to downtown. And this area has really undergone a transformation, even over the past 2 years. Now, I don't know the total brewery count, but you have, in this area, you have River North, you have Great Divide nearby, you have Epic Brewing.
Mutual Friends.
Our mutual friend, Black Shirt Brewery. Mockery. We've got Steb Cider's barrels, and it's Crooked Stave. All of this is within probably like a 2 or 3 mile radius, and it's
one mile
radius. Excuse me. And it's really become a craft beer destination, and we're really kind of in a lucky time here right now because this neighborhood is being transformed into a really, really cool place to live. And I feel blessed. I live about a block away, probably like a block away from River North. And so this, you know, I was here on Saturday, and in the summer I'll be able to just bike down here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, talking about Castleman's, I first started the current job that I'm in at New Belgium 5 years ago in 2010. And we sponsored the Denver Cruiser Ride that summer, and every single one of them started at Castleman's. And it was great, like, when I was driving around looking for a parking spot to come over here, I drove by Castleman's, and I was like, oh my God, like, 5 years ago when we were doing that event there, it seems like it was forever ago, and then, like, this whole area had a completely different feel than it does now, just a few years later. And I guess, you know, somebody who grew up in Fort Collins, went to college in Boulder, and now lives in Denver, like, the whole Front Range in just the last couple years has completely transformed.
That's right.
And, you know, it was a little more immune to the economic downfall, you know, downturn that we had a few years ago. And ever since it's kind of started to rebound, that the whole Front Range between Fort Collins and Boulder seems to have really just taken off in general in the last couple years.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really perfect that you all are this sausage and beer hall. Really, not really too much of that around here. And I think that's something that the city has really, really needed for a while. It's just, a lot of it just has that communal feel. You know, I sat down here on Saturday night, and we sat down at a table. You know, this place is completely packed, so I think people are definitely pretty excited. We sat down at a table, looked to the left of us, and recognized someone that I had met 2 years ago but hadn't kept in contact with. It was just really great communal feel, you know? You get to catch up, you get to meet people that are sitting at this long table with right next to you and share great stories just like we do on the website. So
I think you summarized exactly what our purpose is, which is to really facilitate those relationships and that love amongst the community. And I say that not jokingly. Like, that's exactly what we're doing. Because I hear that story all the time.
Sure.
I mean, you sit down at a table, and you all of a sudden you don't have the distractions of 1,700 TVs in your face, and you got a buddy across from you, or a girl, or a guy, and you're having fun, and all of a sudden you realize that your neighbor is, you know, 8 feet away, and everybody between you and your neighbor become friends.
Totally.
Because absolutely. You're talking, and then they are talking, and then all of a sudden, you have a group of 35 people that are at one table eating food they all enjoy, beers that are amazing, and they're just able to enjoy it together. And it creates a community and creates an experience that people don't forget.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I think that gets added to, or that I think we're going to add, because honestly, I think Denver's culinary scene is kind of advanced. Like, last time I was in New York, it seemed stagnant, but, like, the Populist and, you know, Cartriver, there's these cool, like, new little spots.
Absolutely.
And the thing that I think that I'm hoping that we add, amongst other things, as, like, a fun, boisterous place to be, is a late night spot.
Sure.
To have something, an option to eat past 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, working class is awesome. Cartriver, awesome. We're there all the time. Like, those are our two. We bounce between those two places. And then after 10 o'clock, Cartriver, yes.
A little bit limited.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
So, I hope to see that. Because I think Denver's culinary scene, homegrown and from the outside, it has, like, it's got a lot of potential. I mean, it's going. And
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Moving. And just, like, if we can add to the kind of late night fun places to be that where you're eating great food still.
How late are you guys open?
We're open at midnight here right now, but we have, you know, can keep the bar open until 2 and keep the kitchen open until 2.
Sure. Nice.
But baby steps. Let's get there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the vibe that I got when I was here on Saturday. It really felt like there was a lot of energy here. it was a, you know, you all had DJs spinning over there in the corner, which was a lot of fun, and it was just everybody was really in a great mood. It was like this really cozy, intimate place that had a lot of energy and had a great vibe to it. So definitely, you know, where's Kuka? You guys are in Denver. This is a spot that you have to check out. Great beer, great food, great people. This is definitely the place to be the next, you know, from here on out. But, you know, the Porchcast is about more than just the location. We've got our guests here. They're going to join us on some of the topics of discussion that we've got going on. We haven't broadcast in quite some time, and that's partially due to a technical difficulty that we had on our last podcast. Our last podcast was supposed to take place over at Vine Street Pub, which is the host to Stout Month every year. And unfortunately, our device failed, and we couldn't record the full thing. And
it was, instead of a broadcast, it was just four dudes hanging out talking.
Yeah, which is, you know, part of the course. But we want to be able to share that with you. And so we were also joined by John Fiorelli, the head brewer over at Mountain Sun Breweries, as well as Patrick Anesty from River North Brewery. And we've got some big news to announce, because River North is coming out with another one of their can series. Their farmhouse release is coming out on March 21st, and you'll be able to purchase their farmhouse beers in can form, which is really, really exciting. They're going to be doing a special release party at their brewery on March 21st, as I mentioned, and also a release party over at Freshcraft on March 25th. Now, around that same time, we're going to be doing an event here at Wershkuka with my new place of employment, which is Drizzly. I don't think we've recorded one since I started working with them a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I just started working for Drizzly, which is on-demand alcohol delivery service, a mobile app that you can download on your smartphones. We're in 11 markets right now.
You mean I can just get beer or booze just brought to me?
Yeah, absolutely. sounded totally normal just then, not like a plug. No, but seriously, it's really cool. You can order alcohol delivered to your house within 20 to 40 minutes on average. Everything is the same price as it would be in the stores, just a $5 flat rate delivery fee. So,
yeah. So the more I order, I just don't pay more.
That's right.
That's whatever it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we're going to be teaming up with you guys here on March 22nd.
March 22nd.
Yeah. Details still being finalized.
TBD.
Yeah. But be sure to come out. We're going to be slinging some great food, great beers, and then also Drizzly will be handing out some pretty neat swag as we launch our rebrand in the next week or so.
Sweet.
So similarly, the end of March also coincides with Colorado Craft Beer Week. Justin, why don't you fill in our listeners about, you know, some of the details of Collaboration Fest? And Collaboration Fest, one of the cooler festivals, one of the cooler events around the country,
yeah,
is going to be taking place during that week.
Yeah, so March 20th, Saturday, March 20th, will be the guys over at Imbibe are putting on the Collaboration Fest. And last year, it was at the Curtis Hotel, and it was huge. And so then this year they relocated it to the club suite level over at Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium. And I've been hearing more and more amazing things that are kind of going on. Some breweries doing multiple collaborations with multiple breweries. Some breweries doing collaborations with bands. And yeah, I think it's going to be pretty, pretty big and quite packed. And I know that New Belgium teamed up with Verboten Brewery out of Loveland, and we made a beer called Top Bunk, Bottom Bunk, and it's kind of a black and tan type of
nice
blend where, yeah, we peppermint, I think it's a peppermint stout is one of them, and I don't remember what the other one is, but should be a super cool event and a bunch of great people and a bunch of, I think it really kind of took off this year, a bunch of people, you know, a bunch of different breweries getting together and creating all these different crazy collaboration beers.
Absolutely. I believe Collaboration Fest, I think, features 70-some breweries that are collaborating Generally, the premise is at least one Colorado brewery teaming up with at least one national brewery.
Yeah.
And just a really cool event because it really captures the nature of the craft beer industry. It's all about collaboration.
And I've heard some rumors of some bands that collaborated on some beers. I heard Real Big Fish is going to be there.
Okay.
And
you should actually just start naming like the most like, oh yeah, I heard U2 is going to be there, or like I heard
heard a second one, and now I'm doubting in my head, I'm doubting which one it is.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna.
Wait, how does a band drop down to the brewery?
So we've done a couple collaboration beers, one with the band Clutch and one with G-Love from G-Love and Special Sauce.
Which, coincidentally enough, what was the name of that beer?
Peach Porch Lounger.
Porch Lounger, that's right.
And so I think it was just kind of this organic, partnership that grew out of somebody that was a brewer meeting the bands, and I know that's how Clutch worked, like Eric Salazar, who works in the wood cellar up at New Belgium, was a big fan. No, I'm okay, thank you. He was a big fan of, and still is a big fan of Clutch, and connected with those guys and asked them to come brew a beer, and they got down on it. So
yeah, and you know, so typically what happens is the band will come and brew a beer with the brewery, which is a pretty cool process. I know Kyle Hollingsworth of String Cheese. Is it String Cheese?
Yeah.
He's a big craft beer fan. He's done a lot of collaborations with, I believe, Oscar Blues and a few others as well.
Yeah.
But he's always around GABF. You can generally count on Hollingsworth being here for some kind of beer event. Was it you that I was talking to a while back? Someone that I was talking to, this is just kind of like, I love the idea of random celebrities being like big time craft beer fans. Kyle Clark of Channel 9 News here in Denver is a huge craft beer fanatic. Every year we do a big fantasy brewery draft for the Great American Beer Festival. I ran into Kyle Clark, the anchor for 9 News here in Denver, and he mentioned that he had been, he was watching our live blog of the draft this year, which I thought was the most bizarre thing, because we do a live draft to announce like which publication is drafting which brewery, and he was like, I was freaking out, I was yelling like, why did you choose this brewery over this brewery? And I thought it was the most bizarre thing, because we did a live draft, we didn't think anyone was actually reading the live draft as it was or the live blog as it was happening, but he apparently was just like fanatical about it. I thought it was hilarious. But on top of that, I've heard that Chris Bosch is actually a huge...
The basketball player?
Yeah, the Miami Heat basketball player. Apparently he's a big craft beer fan.
Huh.
I thought that was really random.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I did not know that.
But yeah, I mean, Collaboration Fest is going to be a great time. Also, Porch Drinking is going to be throwing an event that week as well. It is the New Kids on the Block 80s Party, which is, I think, one of the cooler events, because it is an 80s dance party and a craft beer festival that features Colorado craft breweries that are 1 or 2 years or younger. So if a brewery has started within the past 2 years, they were likely invited to our festival. And we have 20-some breweries pouring at the event, pouring some fantastic craft beers, including KC Blending and Brewing, which we featured on the Porchcast a few episodes ago.
Who is that?
KC Blending and Brewing, which we tried that Saison.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
And so the New Kids on the Block Party and Collaboration Fest are both, tickets can be found at the imbibe-events.com. Imbibe-events.com for New Kids. Porch Drinking is collaborating with Imbibe for the third annual party, and it'll be a great time. But yeah, now we kind of pivoting a little bit. It is now March, which means it is basketball season.
officially.
And Tyler, are you a big basketball fan at all?
I'm a Trojan.
You're a Trojan?
I'm a USC dropout.
All right.
And I usually get dragged into a bracket or two.
Yeah. What's your strategy when it comes to brackets? I know some people have different strategies, whether it's like based on color, like team color, or like mascots. Do you have like a strategy going?
My strategy is as fundamental as it gets. Mm-hmm. I get a bracket filled out as quickly as possible. I pay my $20 to whoever facilitating. And then 2 weeks later, I check it out.
you completely ignore it until
just fill it in. I got a couple teams. You know, I'll definitely go for the team consistently.
Okay.
I'm definitely into Duke. I am watching Duke a whole lot.
So, all right.
But other than that, I'll usually try and pick a few upsets in the first couple rounds.
Yep.
But I'm not spending more than 10 minutes. I'm working so much these days that the brackets are, my friends give me a hard time because I don't make it to the beer drinking part of the bracket, and I'm like, guys, you're doing it on like a Tuesday at noon. I have to work.
Yeah.
The Tuesday at noon port drinking is not my scene at the moment. But I love it. And the energy that's created. I'm a local country kid. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
And so passionate. It's really fun.
Justin, what about you? Do you have a strategy? Do you get into the bracket scene at all?
I don't, man. I was just thinking about it. I don't know that. I think if I've ever filled out a bracket, it was maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Like, I've only done it once or twice. It's the same. Like, I've never done fantasy football before. It's just like,
we're too into the drinking part of
all. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I've never really gotten into like betting in general. Really, when I went to the Kentucky Derby a couple years ago, I really enjoyed the betting scene there. But like, that was when I was there, and then that was like this thing that I did when I was there, and then haven't done it since.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I filled out a bracket when I was like a junior or senior in high school, so it's been a solid 15 years since I've done that.
You know the top ranked teams this year?
Kentucky.
I do actually know the top ranked team.
Well.
Number one ranked team of the nation, as it has been since the beginning of the season, is the University of Kentucky Wildcats, and I'm gonna say they're undefeated currently. They're 30-0.
Has that ever happened?
It has. I think 1975 was the last time. Indiana was the last time a major division, like a major major division team, like a major conference team, has run the season undefeated. Kentucky has one more regular season game as of this podcast. On Saturday, they're going to be playing Florida. But
that's crazy. Basketball?
Yeah.
Wichita State last year went undefeated in the current season, in the regular season. But again, they were a mid-major team. But for the major big conferences, Indiana was the last one to run the gamut, and they actually won. I think they went the full season undefeated. So if Kentucky were to pull this off, it'd be the first time it was done in, you know, over 20 years.
Yeah, I don't follow it too closely, but I know that they've just been destroying everybody. That game against Georgia the night before last was a close call.
It was a close call.
I mean,
for
they were
sure.
Down 6, 7, 8 points with not that much time left, and then they just turned it on and destroyed it.
It's funny because Kentucky basketball has always been such a huge part of my life. I grew up, I was born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky, and there's not much going on in Kentucky, you know? It's kind of a sleepy little state, and no professional sports teams are located in Kentucky, so the big point of pride has always been Kentucky basketball. You grow up in the state, you're a big Kentucky fan, unless you're living in that part of the state that doesn't really exist. Some people claim it's a town called Louisville. I don't know. I don't acknowledge that its existence. But Kentucky basketball has always been such a huge part of my culture, and also, you know, the culture that I grew up around. And it's just really exciting to be, I guess, living this ride of undefeated, you know, excitement.
Totally.
So March is always a huge, huge month for me. You will likely see me just like freaking out over the next few weeks, wearing as much blue as I possibly can, and just really repping the Wildcats hard. But yeah, other than that, you know, things are really going great right now. I think we're really excited to be here at Wershkusha, and we're really excited to come back, and hopefully all of our listeners out there will be sure to join us out here as well. We really thank you guys for having us this podcast, and we really love what you all are doing. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be it for episode 11 of the Porchcast. Be sure to join us next time. We'll be sure to be in another unique location. What's the address here?
2036 Broadway. It's like Broadway and Stout. So 2036 Broadway, where Broadway meets Stout Street, kind of 21st.
Perfect.
Right next to the British Bulldog.
Fantastic. All right. That's a wrap for episode 11. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be sure to talk to you soon.
Adios.
Thanks, guys.
Best place to get your tire changed.
Right.
Fire zone.
Yeah, boom.
Let's go.
Done.
Guys.